Ephesians 5:21-33, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Oh, man. We're saying amen in here. That sounded like some low voices. That sounded like some low voices here, boys. Easy. Holy cow. That's daring. That was daring. I heard two amens. It came from men. No, this is going to be a fun day. This really is going to be a fun, fun day. You're catching us, if you're just kind of checking us out for the first time, you're catching us in our series that we're going through. We're in the book of Ephesians in the Bible, and Ephesians is, in my Bible, 3 pages. And we've spent about 6 weeks now on these texts, and we're almost going to be done with Ephesians probably the next, this week and maybe next and maybe the next, we'll see. But we're in Ephesians, and we're just cruising through it. So, this isn't a text, right, that you necessarily like, hey, I want to plant a church and I want people to stay part of my church, so let's go preach on this text, right? That's not usually what you do. And so, fully realizing there's a chance we're going to gut our church today, one of the cool things about going through a book of the Bible is that you're not just picking, right? If you were here last week, you know that we were in the verses right before this one. And so you get to these verses and it's like, okay, we got to deal with this, even though it's not like I necessarily want to, say. It's not necessarily that I want to. And so in order to try to not gut the church, I bought some Hershey's miniatures here, okay? And here's what I'm going to commit to this morning. If you ever start to feel like nervous, just raise your hand and I'll hook you up with a piece of chocolate. Yeah, all right. Boom, 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 back there, boom. Wow. Okay, kids, maybe not so much. I'm looking for adults. I'm looking for adults. Yeah, those guys, you guys ain't nervous. Why are you nervous? Well, yeah, I don't know. Okay, that's enough. Perfect. Kids, Kelton. So, throughout the service, sorry, Galen. Almost took out Galen. Wow. So, that's my commitment as we get into the text a little bit. If you ever start to think, I'm never coming back, this is the worst ever, just raise your hand and I'll just soften the blow, okay? We'll just soften it. Oh, you need one? Okay, they're back there. Perfect. So let me say a prayer and then we'll get into the text a little bit. I love this. This is great. This is fun. Let me pray for us. Lord, I just pray now that you would be with us, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receiving your word, God. This isn't Seth. This is your word speaking to us And we just want to hear from you today. Work not only into our ears, but also into our hearts, oh God. And do that work in us that only you can do. God, help me right now to simply share not a word more and not a word less than what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Okay. I'm ready. Back there, okay, boom, boom, boom. Sorry, I'm not getting them to people. I'm a terrible thrower. Boom. Janet, did you get one? Sorry, Susie. Susie looks like she needs two back there. Okay. Hold back, here's the bag. Janet wants, that back row looks like it needs the bag. That's awesome. So, here's what's up. Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, perfect. Fantastic. You just come on up. You just come on up if you need them. Yeah, I hear you. That's awesome. So, this is awesome. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We're not only going to be talking about, everybody's going to be included in this conversation today, but I did want to engage this a little bit because... Actually, I've never really engaged it before. I probably studied this text and this specific text more than I've ever studied it before. And so I just kind of want to lean into that a little bit. And a reminder that, you know, every sermon isn't always for us, like always for me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's for somebody else. And that can be the case sometimes. Now, I think this text is going to apply to all of us. And I'm going to try to do that as well. But yeah, let's just kind of see where it goes. So submit, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, what's not being used here is the word obey. That's actually in chapter 6, verse 1, all right? And that Greek word is hupakuo. Hupa what? Hupakuo. Hupakuo is this word obey, and it's in relation here to chapter 6, verse 1, where it's fathers and children relationship. This word is in submit is also not. In chapter 5, verse 33, we see the word respect. So it's not only, submit includes and is part of this kind of word obey, might be part of it, yes. And it might include part of this respect word, yes. But the respect word is phobeo, which is actually probably more like fear. But we're not going to get into it. Just don't get too crazy here today. Just don't, just settle down. But phobeo is almost kind of like having a respect or a fear. And this is actually, you could go back to like Proverbs and a fear of the Lord. And well, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, we could talk a whole sermon on just that, okay? So it's not that word either. The word is submission. What is this? This is hupatasso. Hupa what? Hupatasso. Hupa being under. And tasso being like orderly, in some kind of order, hupatasso. That's the word that's used, okay? And it's kind of interesting because it's not, essentially, God has ordered his creation in a certain way. There is an order to creation all over the place, in all sorts of different things. He's ordered it, and ultimately, and we're going to get into this in a little bit, ultimately, he's ordered it for our benefit. Ultimately, he's ordered it for creation itself. Okay? So, this is what it's not. This is not tyranny. Okay? This is not better than. This is not... Hupatasso is not smarter than. This is not more intelligent. This is not more IQ. This is not makes better decisions. It's not those things. It's submission. What does that mean? What is going on here? Within the context of an ordered creation, okay, God has set up certain order to creation for our benefit. Let me give you an example that just will just settle you down a little bit. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 51. What's going on here in this text? Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Jesus, okay, who's kind of a big deal, right? He's kind of a big deal. Jesus goes to the temple. He's like one of the most intelligent guys there. The religious leaders are in awe at this little boy, Jesus. And Mary and Joseph end up leaving town, and they start looking around for Jesus, and finally they're like, hey, where is he? We must have left him back there. So they go back to Jerusalem to start looking for him, and they finally find him in the temple. And Jesus is like, where did you think I was going to be? I'm in my Father's house. This is where I'm supposed to be. And then Mary and Joseph are like, no, you're supposed to, you got to come with us. And then what does it say? And the actual Greek word there is hupotasso. He submits to Mary and Joseph. Now, is Jesus a bigger deal than Mary and Joseph? Yeah, kinda, right? Is Jesus like the creator of the universe? Yeah. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is Jesus in his divinity able to understand all things? Yes. So why does he submit to mom and dad? It's because there's an order. And in his role as 12-year-old, he's actually been put into the context of being cared for. And so when he submits to mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, he's actually submitting to their care, their protection, the gifts that come from being a parent. Now, we're going to see this kind of play out in some other things as well. So what's the purpose? What is the purpose for why God would create this kind of orderedness so that we might lean into it and actually receive how God has set things up? Well, it's care for creation. I want to read you this quote from, I'm trying to not say too much and trying to say what other people say. Just getting nervous, okay. Yeah, you kids, you don't know yet. Someday you'll know what's going on in this message. Here's a quote from a commentary. It is important to stress that in each ordered relationship, the subordinate person is the valuable one. Sit on that. The subordinate person is the valuable one, in the sense that the superordinate person's office or role is instituted for the sake of those for whom they care. You see what I'm trying to say there? God has set it up so that we might fall under his protection, his care, his provision, his love, the things that he wants to do to protect his people. And he orders creation in such a way that might actually take place. Look at Romans 13:1. Let's get out of husband-wife for a second, okay? Husband-wife, everybody gets all nervous. Look at Romans 13:1. The same Greek word here is used for submission. Romans 13:1. Let every person be submissive to the governing authorities. Well, all of a sudden, that's every single one of us, okay? Now, all of a sudden, all the guys' hands go up, and they're all getting all... Now, this is actually this is a serious thing. That a lot of times in our culture, we're taught that submission, right, is not humility, but what? Humiliation. So we're supposed to own up and we're supposed to just kind of man up and nobody can tell me what to do. Nobody can say anything to me. And Jesus in Romans 13 here, he's saying, no, I want you to actually be subject to those in authority over you. So this might even be like right here talking governing authorities. When Tom pulls me over because he's a police officer and he says, you're getting a ticket, which really wouldn't surprise me if Tom actually gave me a ticket. I have to submit to that. There's an authority that's over me in that moment, and I will submit to that. Why? Why would God do that? For my protection, for my care, for me. He's thinking of me. And to receive that ticket, which was really hard to do about 2 weeks ago, not from Tom, but from somebody else, to receive that ticket and actually recognize, and as the guy's walking away, say, thank you for doing your job, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? I actually didn't say thank you for your job. I did say thanks, but I can't remember if I said it sarcastically or not. I don't remember how my tone was. To receive, wives, submit to your husbands. Receive from them the protection, the care, the provision that can be given. Now, this is hard. What does it look like when we start to get really specific, right? I actually called one of my sisters this past week I got two sisters. One of them is incredibly like, you'd look at her and you'd just be like, there's a submissive wife, right? She's just kind of like, she just always is like talking about her husband, just like whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. That's one of my sisters. I didn't call her because that doesn't help in this conversation. I called my other sister, who is way more, as the world looks in, the world would be like, she's the leader of the family. She's the outgoing one. She's kind of the ba, 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 you know. And I called her and I said, hey, Tam, just talk to me a little bit about this. What does this look like for you? I was going to have her shoot a video, but we just had so many videos today. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that today. But I was just like, Tam, just talk to me about what does this look like? What does it look like for you in a household where my brother-in-law, Todd, it seems like he's not, you know, oh, man, Todd, I hope you're not going to listen to this on the thing. But, you know, you know, the world would look at it and maybe say, like, you know, Tammy's the leader. Tammy's the one who Todd maybe could submit to. And this is sometimes a real struggle. So what does it look like for very specific things like decision making, right? Parenting, all sorts of things, all sorts of different concepts. Well, am I advocating for the couple to not be in conversation with each other? Of course not. There's a good chance the wife is the smarter one. There's a good chance she's the more intelligent one. But what does it look like to take even that, Tammy and Todd, who maybe Tammy brings more education into the relationship? What does it look like to take that and simply put that in the context of the way God orders things? And so there comes a point where maybe a decision can't be made. What does that look like for the wife in that moment of, I think intellectually, maybe even, I don't think that's where we should go. Well, I don't think that's where we should go. What does it look like for the wife to submit in that? I'm not going to be like all getting into specifics today. I'm going to let you do some of that. All I'm trying to say is God orders creation in such a way and he sets things up. And oftentimes we try to rebel against that. That's just, come on. Isn't that true? And what does it look like to just lean into this word a little bit and say, man, what does it look like for me to submit the way Jesus submits? What does it look like for me to submit, just like I'd have to submit in that situation, to into this husband-wife situation? I know I'm tackling this more than I usually would. I know that. I've never done this before with this text. But it's a gift. It's something that can be received. Submission, these words, actually, verse 21 and 24, okay? where these two words really pop, because the other two spots that you're looking at in your Bibles, they're actually not even there in the Greek, okay? Where hupotasso is not even there. It's carried on from the next, and that takes place with verbiage, okay? In the Greek, you can actually do that, and that's the way it is. And so as you're looking at verse 21 and as you're looking at verse 24 and you're seeing those words, I want you to understand that those verbs are actually passive verbs. The first one's a participle. The second one's indicative. So there's a little bit, it feels like maybe a little bit of a command. But actually, if you look at the commentaries, they're all trying to string them together, keeping them very passive, very receiving, to submit. To be submissive. And I would even argue, as the commentaries do, most of them that I think are right, I would argue that these all get connected back to what? Now, here's what you want to do. You want to tie it in with verse 21, right? Everybody wants to do that. Go back even a little further and tie it in with verse 18. This is where an imperative is used. And this imperative is also passive. And this is what it says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as that takes place, pop, 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 these other verbs just begin to flow from this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And out of that, be submissive to everyone. Be submissive, wives, to your husbands. It's connected with what God is doing, guys, in our lives, in the way in which He's ordered creation. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I wanted to actually lean into this more, but we don't have time. Not 3, chapter 5, verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's a quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So Paul's driving this baby, and then what does he say? Listen, this mystery is great. This mystery is great. It's profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, watch this. From the beginning, Jesus has been in mind. From the beginning, the church has been in mind. And Jesus and the church, from the beginning, God has had salvation, the plan of salvation, what Jesus is going to do, the church and how He's going to bless her and how she's going to submit to Him. And in that, He actually brings about marriage as this image, as this earthly thing that is always pointing to Jesus and the church. It's always pointing to Jesus and the church. We're not talking about divorce here. We're not even talking about brokenness in our marriages. I'm not even talking about all that right now. I realize we can talk about those things. I get that. Okay? And can God forgive something like divorce? Yeah. Does God forgive where there's brokenness in our marriages? Yeah. Does God help and provide for us in the midst of Tammy and Todd and it's like, it just doesn't seem like... Yes, 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 I get that. All I'm trying to say is, here's what the text is saying. And the text is saying something like, from the beginning, Jesus and the church has been in mind. And as the church, what does it look like for us to submit? All of us, the bride, guys included, what does it look like for us to submit to Christ? To receive from Him, see? To receive from Him His good order. See, we want to reorder it. We want to do things, and God, you just kind of step over there, and I'm going to kind of do things over here the way I want to kind of do things. God, I'll work my way to earn your love or something like that. Man, it is just, we get all confused. We get all out of disorder. And Jesus is saying, no. Here's the order. I will come and I'm going to love you like crazy. What comes out of this? See, my question is simply this. Are we receiving today God's blessings, care, protection, love that he offers to us? Are we receiving that today? As part of the church, but also in the context of our marriages. As next week, we're going to lean into chapter 6, where there's this father-son kind of relationship, parental thing going on. We're going to lean into vocations, and a lot, you'll all feel more comfortable. You'll all be like, ooh, a little less, nervous. I don't have to bring the chocolate next week, right? But where there's this relationship where there's this employee and employer and all this kind of stuff and all this going on as well. But are we receiving, even in all of these things, are we receiving God's care for us? The most valued one. And then, let me just lean into the guys here for a second. Because this text is really also leaning into men stepping up. Men stepping up and understanding what their role is. These texts give men zero grounds to be tyrannical. Of course, abusive. That's like I don't even know why I say it. Any of those guys, there's none of that. There's none of that in this text for a man to kind of pull himself away from his wife and kind of keep her over there distanced. There is none of that in this text. It's the opposite. Yeah. Men stepping up, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men leading. These verses here, there's three verses that lean into wives. There's six that begin to lean into husbands and what's going on. And the idea is that there are certain roles that are set up and we should submit ourselves to those roles. Just like when I try to not submit myself to the role that Jesus is Savior and I'm not. That's a role that I need to submit myself under. Jesus is my Savior. He's the one who loves me and cares for me. I'm going to receive from him all of his benefits and blessings and everything he wants to dump into my life. And then Jesus says, here's what it looks like, guys. Here's what it looks like to step up in love, sacrificing the self for who? Now, if this is about Jesus in the church, for who? The smoking hot, perfect, everything's all put together. Is that what it is? What's pictured here? A church that's what? Defiled. That's not holy. That's not perfect. And what does Jesus do? He dies for her. He makes her holy. He brings care, compassion, and love to her. He dies for her, even though she is not perfect. And we could get into all sorts of different things here. Even though she's his enemy. Romans talks about us being enemies of God. What does it look like? At my bachelor party, At my bachelor party, I had a group of guys and we went out and did a big gun shoot. And we had the guys all gathered around me at one point and laid their hands on me and said a prayer. And I cannot remember anything that was said except for my oldest brother and his words to me. He said to me, he said, "Seth, love her even when she's unlovable." See, that's Jesus. That's the church. Loving us even when we are unlovable. Ooh, baby. Got two people that are understanding what I'm talking about. I want to read to you this quote. I got to kind of draw this baby to an end. I don't want to. I want to go more because you know me. You're starting to get to know me. My natural tendency is when I start to feel like nervous, I talk more. So I knew this was going to be a long one. And so I get like, I want to explain myself away. I hope I'm just letting the text do its thing this morning. Listen to this. Within, this is from that same commentary from the other quote. Listen to this. Within each of your God-given relationships, it is the work of the Spirit in you that you worship God. The very worship of the Creator who's ordered things in such a way is at stake. That we worship God by willingly taking the subordinate role with respect to each person whom God has placed over you. That's not just wives and husbands. That's a lot of different contexts. But it's included here. That God has placed over you, or by serving as God's instrument to deliver his gifts of care and protection to those placed under you. That should speak to every single person in this room. That should speak to everybody. And that's my prayer for you, that God's word would do this in your lives. And he'd be opening up your hearts to actually receiving from him, submitting to his word ultimately today. As the church, not all perfect looking and everything's all figured out and we don't even sin anymore. Nope. Sinners. Sinners who Jesus still loves. Gosh. He loves us even when we're unlovable. Let me pray for you today. Lord Jesus, no chocolate can make any of this feel super comfortable because, oh God, we want to do things on our own, even at the expense oftentimes of pushing you aside. And for where we have done that today, oh God, we are so sorry. We are sorry. And we repent, oh God, of where we have not simply received from you your love, your protection, your care, even in the context of those roles and offices that you've set up for us to be in. God, I know that there are situations in this room that this, just even the conversation of this is very painful and is not easy to hear at all. And Jesus, I just pray that you would be not only the God who breaks hearts in this room, because there are some hearts that need to be broken, God, I pray that you'd also be the God who comes in to bring healing. And that is exactly what you do. That's the kind of work that you do. Breaking hearts that need broken and bringing healing to those that need healing. And so where each and every one of us is at today, God, I don't know where we're all at. But I do believe, Jesus, that you want to speak this word into our lives. Whether it's a life that's of an individual and single, whether it's the life of someone who's divorced, whether it's in the life of a couple and marriage, and this is really easy and it's kind of like this is no big deal, whether it's in the life in the context of a situation where this is very difficult, whatever it might be this morning, whether it's maybe, I'm thinking of Jack in here, who's a young man, he's 15 years old, and as he's thinking about this stuff, he's not even, he doesn't even have a, maybe I shouldn't say that, Jack, sorry. I don't even think he's got a girlfriend right now, but as he's hearing this text, what does this look like for him someday? What does this mean for him? So everybody, every single person in here, speak to us, oh God. Work in us. Heal us. Help us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that these passive verbs would just take place and it just pours out of your filling us up. We receive you this morning. We receive your Spirit right now. God, forgive us. Forgive us for our sin. We trust in you, oh God. We trust in you. In Jesus' name.